strange. How about somebody really coming back from the dead? And that's exactly what the followers of Jesus Christ claimed over 2,000 years ago. Not only is the resurrection the foundation of the Christian faith, it has ongoing implications today for you and for me. The death and resurrection of Jesus ushered in a paradigm shift, a new way of relating to God. Steve, I like your tie. I wanted to say, I don't normally, if you're visiting here, I don't normally wear a tie on Sunday mornings, but it's such a special day, as Steve has done that too, and Bob, Mark, Joe, everybody. Yeah, it's great. Good to see you. So don't get used to it. Don't get used to it. I'm not going to. And I don't know if Micah wears a tie or not. So we can put our trust in Jesus Christ because of the resurrection. We can put our trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus made some startling claims during his lifetime. His claims outraged the people of his time, as they still do today. Jesus declared that he came from heaven. He said that he was more than a great teacher or a prophet or a miracle worker. Jesus pronounced himself God, God in the flesh. And of course, not everyone who followed him picked up on that. But Jesus then made it very, very clear, crystal clear actually. Conversation shortly before his crucifixion, here's what one of his followers learned. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus replied, "Philip, don't you even know who I am, even after all this time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus also startled people by claiming to be the only path to unending life. He said, "Those who believe in me, even though they die like everyone else, will live again. They are given eternal life for believing in me and will never perish." And then John 14, 5 and 6, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And by his statement alone, we cannot conclude that Jesus was merely a good man, as some say. Either he was what he said he was, and whether that was true or it wasn't, there was no middle ground. Jesus was either a liar, a lunatic, or he was Lord. So how do we know that what he said and who he said he was really was? The resurrection validates that claim, his claim to be God in the flesh. Now, there is one undeniable fact about the first Easter morning that we are celebrating here over 2,000 years later. Jesus' body was gone from the tomb. No one has ever produced a body. Jesus' body was gone, and that leaves us with four options, okay. First one is that his followers stole the body. Second, that is, the authorities stole the body. The third option is that Jesus really didn't die. And the fourth, the resurrection is real. Option one, his followers stole the body. Now, this was, in fact, the report that the religious leaders circulated when Jesus' body turned up missing that morning. But is it even possible? Did these men have the courage and the intelligence to steal their master's corpse? If you think it's possible, you obviously haven't read the New Testament, what it says about Jesus' closest circle of friends and his followers. They were neither cunning nor bold, and at Jesus' execution, only one of them had the courage to even be there. The rest had scattered like scared sheep, and they didn't even bother to bury Jesus. This man they followed for 3 years and claimed to love with all their lives, even after the reports of Jesus' resurrection began to circulate throughout. Look what his loyal and faithful followers were doing. John 20:19 says, "That evening on the first day of the week, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders." Not only were they fearful, these men just didn't understand or even believe in the resurrection. Although Jesus had told them over and over again it would happen and this is the way it was going to go, they never got to understand, and they must have concluded, Oh, he must have been just speaking figuratively. And when Jesus rose early on that first day of the week, who did he appear to first? Mary Magdalene. And she went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they still didn't believe it. Initially, they doubted, but something happened. Something happened that changed these fearful men to bold witnesses of the resurrection. Now, the tradition tells us that all of the remaining disciples of Jesus, except one, were tortured and executed for their faith. Each one was given the choice, deny Jesus Christ of Nazareth or die. And they all chose death. They saw Jesus back from the grave, and it changed their lives forever. Yeah, you can argue that people throughout history have for things that were not true, but nowhere in history do you find people suffering torture and death for something that they knew was a lie. Logically, we cannot conclude that Jesus' followers stole the body and fabricated the story. So we have option two. The authorities stole the body. Now, a simple question to ask here is, what would be their motive? The Jewish leaders and Roman authorities would have loved nothing more than to squash Christianity from the start. They viewed this new sect as an erosion to their power base. Stealing the body would only lend credibility to the movement. And that was the last thing that they wanted. So just think what would have happened if they could have produced the body. They would have paraded Jesus' dead body around Jerusalem until it fell apart. But they couldn't, because the authorities did not take the body either. Third one, Jesus really didn't die. Now, a number of years ago, some intelligent person created or devised the swoon theory. And as the story goes, when he was placed in a cool tomb, he revived and walked out, rejoining his disciples and establishing Christianity that we know today. Now, to believe this takes a little bit too much faith. There are so many impossibilities to overcome. Death on a Roman cross, it occurred when the victim gave in to exhaustion. To stay alive on the cross, you would have to be constantly pushing yourself up to exhale. And if you passed out, you would die of suffocation. Not to mention that the Romans were very proficient at killing. That was their job. And they knew how to do it very well and very effectively. And if you ever want to see what Jesus went through, just watch that movie that came out a while ago, The Passion. It is horrific what happened to Jesus. But just for the sake of argument, we'll say that Jesus survived the cross. More questions arise. How did he survive a spear that was thrust up under his rib cage? And the wound was so deep that the pericardial sac that surrounds his heart. Did I say that right? Pericardial? Cardial. Thank you. There we are. That little sac around the heart. It was ruptured and it caused blood and water to flow from his side. How could a man who had been beat so severely that his internal organs were exposed, and then they crucified them and that survived that, and then 3 days later, while he's put in the tomb, and 3 days later, having been in the tomb with no water, no food, no medical attention, doesn't seem possible, does it? How could a man in Jesus' condition roll away then that huge stone boulder from the tomb entrance, which normally took a few men to make it budge, and get past an elite Roman guard, locate his disciples, sneak into a room where they were hiding, and then inspire them to risk their lives for his cause? One author said that if this scenario were true, that instead of producing courage in his followers, Jesus' pathetic image would inspire nausea. The swoon theory just doesn't hold water. And if you believe it, well, I have some beautiful, very cheap lakefront property in Comox there, Comox Lake, actually. And just come talk to me, I'll sell it to you. So if you want to explore these options a little deeper, The Case for Easter by Elise Strobel is an excellent book. You can take a deeper dive into that. So that leaves us option number four. The resurrection is real. The evidence weighs strongly in favor of this option. Not only was the tomb empty, Jesus made a minimum of 10 bodily appearances after the resurrection. And since that time, millions, millions upon millions have trusted in the testimony of those first eyewitnesses. So you can have confidence in Jesus and all his claims because the truth of the resurrection is completely trustworthy. And because of the resurrection is real, you and I can have a fresh start. How many have ever played golf? A few. This is a great place to play golf. Do you know what a mulligan is? Those that have played golf, maybe those of you who have never played, you still know what a mulligan is. A mulligan is like if you're up at the tee and you take a swing and you hit that ball, and instead of it going where you really want it to, it either goes left or right, a slice or a hook, and way off into the bush or whatever, or just not a very good drive. It's a second chance you get to a better score if your generous golf buddies let you have a mulligan. And no one knows but them and the golf cart that the ball slams into. Well, you know what? We all need a mulligan for life, amen? We all need a second chance, a fresh start. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ that makes it possible. Romans 6:4 that you heard this morning, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. God promises us a fresh start, a complete new life, simply by trusting in Jesus and his resurrection. And because the resurrection is real, you and I can have power to live life right. If you go into any bookstore nowadays and you go to the self-help section, it's probably one of the largest ones in the sections in the bookstore. You know what? We all want improvement, right? We all seem to have this inner drive to be better. You can find a book there that can tell you how to get a job. You can find a book there that tells you how to lose weight, how to have a better relationship. Books that tell you, don't sweat the small stuff. And then another book says, it's all small stuff, you know? They all promise to teach us how to be the kind of person that we can only dream about. But there is only one problem with that. They don't give you the power to change. Without power, all that advice is as impotent as a car without gas or a bullet without gunpowder. The resurrection is different. It gives us the power to live life right, the right way that God intended for us to live, way down deep that we desire to live as well. Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Now don't rush past that verse. The Spirit of God lives within you. That promise is valid only for those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Have you done that? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Do you trust him as your Lord and Savior and the leader of your life? Those who take God's word and trust in the resurrection of Jesus Christ receive God's Spirit into their beings. Imagine the power that broke the chains of death and revived the body of Jesus. That same power flows through the veins of every person who crosses that line of faith. If God's Spirit can defeat death, there is no habit, no sin, no addiction, no attitude that can withstand the resurrection power. And because the resurrection is real, you and I can have a hope for the future. Amen? What happens when we die? Do we just flicker out like a flame never to be seen again? Maybe our lives are like the what Soren Kierkegaard, that philosopher, he describes our life as smooth stones. Do you remember as a kid taking these nice smooth stones and going to a river, or if you're on a lake and you pick it up and you flick it across the water, trying to see how far. And usually if you have a brother or sister, you can say, I can flick it farther than you, you know. And the, how many does you do? 2, 3, depending on the stone. 5, 6, I think I counted up to 14 when I was a kid. But, you know, everything gets bigger. I caught the fish was this big. And then, yeah. But eventually, what happens to the stone? It goes under the water, right? Is our life like that? Drop silently below the surface, gone forever. According to the Bible, nothing could be further from the truth because Jesus was raised from the dead. Those who trust him and follow him will go on after this life that we know and experience is over. After the flame goes out and the stone sinks beneath the surface, life goes on. Jesus said in John 14:19, because I live, you also will live. And in 1 Corinthians 15:20, Paul says, the fact is that Christ has been raised from the dead. He has become the first of a great harvest of those who will be raised to life again. It sounds strange, but it's true. The resurrection of Jesus Christ really happened. And because of that event in human history, you can trust Jesus. You can have a fresh start. You can have the power to live life right. And you can have a future that extends beyond death. Early on that first Easter morning, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. And just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. I love that angel's comment. I know you're looking for Jesus. And in some way this morning, aren't we all? We are all seekers on the journey of life. Some of us have found Jesus, but we still have a way to go as we discover him more and more. Some of us are yet to discover the sweet joy of knowing him. Either way, the answer lies in the empty tomb. He is the resurrection and the life for all who seek him. Come and see. Does that look good? Not only does it look good, it tastes really good. It's not bitter, it's sweet. I'm tempted to have another bite. That sounds familiar. Now, you may intellectually agree with everything that we've said here this morning. Just like I could tell you, this apple is really juicy and sweet. But if you've never tasted this apple like I have, you'll never know. And don't come and get it after. That's my lunch, okay? You just have to take my word on it. Goes for Jesus. If you've never tasted Jesus for yourself, all that we have said is meaningless. Psalm chapter 34, verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. The resurrection will change your life, but only if you personally taste, only if you personally trust the risen Lord as your Savior and Lord and the leader of your life. And if you've never trusted Jesus like that as your Savior and your Lord and the leader of your life, and you would really want to this morning, you can talk to the person that you came with this morning, or you can talk to one of us that are up here. We would love to introduce you to him. Come and see. Come and taste.